We want to talk this morning about the body of Christ, but we're going to use a different illustration. You're probably familiar with the body of Christ illustration that the Apostle Paul uses. It's one of the more commonly used metaphors in the New Testament, but we're going to be looking at a different apostle and a different metaphor this morning. So that's the Apostle Peter. We already read some of what he wrote this morning, and he uses a metaphor of stones that make up a temple or a building. And that's the metaphor he uses to describe the same thing that Paul does with the body of Christ. And we're looking at our identity in Christ using this metaphor. So we're in 1 Peter again. We're in chapter 2, starting at verse 4. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through to 9. And says this: "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." We're going to dig into that passage a little bit this morning and see what that metaphor means. We're talking about living stones. Peter uses it two different ways. He applies one of them to Jesus, and he applies it also to people of the church. So we're going to look at how he applies it to Jesus first. Now, the living stone is a metaphor that would remind the Jews of the temple. So you have to keep in mind the era that Peter is writing in. The Jews had the temple in Jerusalem, and this illustration that he's using would have reminded the Jews of the physical building of the temple. And you need to know during that time that worship of God revolved around the temple. You would go to the temple to worship. The priests operated at the temple. Everything revolved around the building of the temple. That's where God's presence symbolically on earth was centered. It was at the temple. So keep in mind this metaphor, this analogy of the temple as we're going through this passage, because that's what it would have reminded the hearers of as Jesus is giving, or as Peter's giving this illustration about Jesus. So Peter writes, "You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple." So there you have it. He talks about the temple, he talks about the living cornerstone of God's temple. So if you think about the actual building of the temple, and if you think about how a building was built, especially with a stone building, they had to have a cornerstone. And a cornerstone is what it sounds like, a stone placed at the corner of the building. And it was essential to the foundation of the building. We sang it this morning, "Build my life," right? Build it on a solid foundation. We have to build on a solid foundation. Any house, any building, you have to build it on a solid foundation or it's not going to last, right? So Jesus becomes the cornerstone of our faith. Just as a cornerstone in an actual stone building, it holds the whole foundation together. It makes sure that the building is square. It makes sure that the foundation is solid. It makes sure that everything you put on top of that foundation is not going to collapse. It starts at the bottom. Your foundation has to be solid for the building to work, for it to function. So Jesus becomes the cornerstone of the new covenant, the New Testament, the Christian faith. He is the cornerstone of everything that is built. We have to place our lives on him and build on the foundation of Jesus. As Peter writes, he explains that Jesus is the living cornerstone, which is the spiritual reality that the physical temple represented. Before, you had to go to a physical building to meet with God. You had to go to the temple. But Jesus becomes the spiritual reality that the physical temple pointed towards. Jesus becomes the reality that any person who comes to him approaches the temple through Jesus. We approach God through Jesus, the cornerstone. Meaning today, we don't have to go to a physical temple in order to meet with Jesus, because he is the spiritual reality made present all around us all the time. However, as we look at this, as Peter continues in the passage, those who are not believers don't recognize Jesus as the cornerstone. And indeed, those who arrested and tried Jesus and ultimately executed him could not accept that he was the cornerstone. And it's pretty clear in the Bible, like sometimes you hear people talk about Jesus that, you know, yeah, he was maybe a prophet, maybe he was a great teacher, you know, we kind of accept that, but like Son of God, you know, I don't know about that. Jesus, Savior, sure, he taught some interesting things, but I don't know if he was like God. But it's pretty clear that the Bible doesn't leave us that room for ambiguity. Either he was Jesus, the Savior, or he wasn't. And C.S. Lewis says this about Jesus. If we look at him, either we accept him as the cornerstone or we don't. C.S. Lewis wrote this: a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. There's no way to get around Jesus because he is the cornerstone. He's there whether we like it or not. We accept him as the cornerstone and build our lives on him, or we're going to trip over him because we can't get around him. On our lives, if you believe in Jesus, your life needs to be based on that solid foundation of the cornerstone. The second way that Peter applies this metaphor is to people. Paul uses the illustration of the body of Christ. Peter uses the illustration of living stones that make up the temple. So when people accept Jesus as their Savior, you're like a stone placed in the wall of the building. Jesus is the cornerstone, the foundation is laid. But people come to Christ, and you're like a stone placed in the wall. There's many different stones, there's different sizes, there's different shapes, there's different types. But those stones are placed in the wall, and the wall is built to build the temple. Becomes the body of Christ, the temple of Christ. And it reminds me of this story I read of two stonemasons who are going about their work. And a curious observer comes up to them and asks them what they're doing. And the first stonemason replies, well, you know, I'm taking this piece of rock and I'm making it into a perfectly smooth square. Okay, that's interesting. And then, well, what about you? And the observer asks the second stonemason what he's doing. He says, well, I'm building a cathedral. Do you see the difference in perspective there? They're doing the same thing. They're doing the same job. But one of them just says, well, I'm shaping this piece of stone to make it a perfect square. The other one's doing the same thing, but he sees that he's building a cathedral. He's doing the work that is going to lead to the building of a beautiful cathedral. And that is the perspective we get to have in our faith. You're not just a person who's by yourself, doing life, going on, things happen, you know, you're more or less by yourself. You are part of God's plan. You are a piece of stone that goes into the building. You're a living stone that you're being placed into the building by Jesus. Jesus is shaping you. He's molding you. You have the experiences that you have. Things happen to you, and that's all part of the shaping process. And you're placed into the building by Jesus. You're not isolated. You're not like the piece of stone that's just being shaped over here and, you know, whatever's happening. You are part of the building of God's temple. You are part of the temple. Your purpose is much bigger than just you by yourself. So I'll ask you, Do you see yourself as an individual piece of stone, an individual work, or as part of something larger and as something glorious? As individuals, we know that we're in process. On the one hand, we're placed in the building, the walls. But on the other hand, we know that we're still in process. We are works that are not yet complete. We are still being shaped. We are still being worked on as we're here today. And theologically, we call this sanctification, the process of growing towards Christ. And we talk about that we live in the kingdom of God, which has a present aspect, but also a future aspect. We live in the now, but there are also things that are yet to come. We live in this tension between what is and what will be, and that process is sanctification, where we live now, that we are still growing, we are still being shaped, we are still moving forward, things are still happening to us, we are not in our finished state yet. And the cool thing is that Jesus isn't just shaping individual believers. Jesus is building a temple, and you are part of that. And in John, we read this, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." So just as Jesus is the living cornerstone, we are living stones that make up the building, and together we are temples of the Holy Spirit. The body of Christ, this temple, becomes the spiritual reality that the original stone temple pointed to. And every person who is a follower of Jesus has the Holy Spirit with them. We walk around as living temples of the Holy Spirit in everything that we say and everything that we do. And because we worship Jesus, the living stone, and have his spirit in us, we're no longer restricted to worshiping in a building. We worship through our lives, through everything that we say and do. And as living stones, we are literally living temples. Along with Peter, Paul does use this metaphor as well, the temple and stone analogy. And in Ephesians 2, 20 to 21, he says this, "Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord." And Peter and Paul agree on this metaphor, that if you're following Jesus, you are a living stone. You are part of what God is doing. You're a stone that's placed in the wall, part of this building of the temple. Your identity is found as part of the holy temple, the living stones being carefully built into this amazing temple that Jesus is building. And I hope that's what we can see this morning, is that you're not just an individual over here where things happen to you and it doesn't affect anyone else or anything else, or that no one else cares what's going on in your life, or what's going on in your life doesn't matter, because it does. If you think of, again, the context of a stone building, it matters what's going on with the other pieces of stone in that building, because if they're not shaped right, if they're not placed into the wall, if the master craftsman is not doing his job, that building is not going to work. It's going to fall apart. But Jesus is working, and he is placing you into that building. He's designing it. He's putting it together. And your life, your story matters, because it's part of the whole. It's part of the building. You make up the building along with everyone else. And I just love that analogy, that Jesus isn't just building individuals, he's building a temple. He's building us into his living temple. In 1 Peter 2:9, we read it already, but I want to repeat it. Peter says this, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Jesus didn't make a mistake when he chose you. It says you are a chosen people. God chose you. Just like a stonemason might go to the quarry and pick out a piece of stone and begin shaping it and smoothing it for the next part of the building, Jesus chose you, called you out, and he is shaping you, building you, experiences in your life, the things that happen. God uses all of them. And even as Kelly spoke this morning, at the time he didn't necessarily know why certain things were happening, but looking back, he can see how God used those things, those experiences, those shaping times. Over time later, they made sense, and God used them. And he's doing the same thing in all of our lives. Everything that happens to us, Jesus can use that as he shapes us and builds us into a temple, his holy temple. As we wrap up this morning, I just want to leave a couple of questions with you to think about as we go. And I'll ask, what does it mean to you that you are part of Jesus' masterpiece? You're not just an individual work, you're not just an individual piece of stone, but you are part of the temple that God is building. What does that mean to you? And what does being a living stone in Jesus' temple say about your identity? I'll leave you with those couple of questions this morning, and we're going to pray as we go today. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the beauty that you are working in each and every person, the stories that you are writing, that we get to be part of your story. Lord, I pray as each person goes this week that you would be with them, that you would encourage them, that we would get to see that we're not just by ourselves, but that what we're doing matters, that you are calling us to you, that you are building, that you are shaping. You're up to great things, Lord. You're not just random, but you're building a temple, and you're using our lives to do it. We thank you for this, that we're a part of you. We pray this in your name.